want to call your attention now to the word in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Turn to Philippians, chapter 4. I'll be reading from two versions this morning. Two versions. You didn't see my notes there. All right. To Philippians chapter 4, and the youth ministry department is going to be helping me this morning. So while you're turning, finding Philippians chapter 4, maybe we better practice something. Are you ready? Okay, you have the cue. The cue is the word why. And a look to me. Okay. And then you're going to say, the Lord is at hand. Okay, louder than that, I trust. Because these people way over here have got to hear it, and you don't have microphones. Okay? Praise the Lord. We've got it stripped out, folks. We've got it wired. We'll do it for the glory of God. And I appreciate the youth helping me this morning. From the Living Bible, reading in the first verse of chapter 4 of Philippians. Dear brother Christians, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and my reward for my work. My beloved friends, stay true to the Lord. And now I want to plead with those two dear women, Rhodias and Syntyche, please, with the Lord's help, quarrel no more. Be friends again. And I ask you, my two teammates, to help these women, for they work side by side with me in telling the good news to others. And they work with Clement, too, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the Book of Life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. All right. I will read from the King James Version. Let's begin again at the first verse. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We go back to the King James Version to pick up more and deeper meaning to some of these words. So, stand fast in the Lord. I beseech Theodos and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also through your fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Thank you, our Father, for your wonderful love. And we find it most especially in your word. Bless us now, O Lord. The fellowship of the church is fine, but thy love is found in the word. Amen. Praise God. Paul is pleading for and believing he will get steadfastness from the Christians in the church at Philippi. And not just steadfastness and all that that means, but harmony. and all that harmony contributes to the church at Philippi. Here are two elements that win over all the contest that the enemy may throw against us. Here are two elements that can stand off all the invasions of hell: steadfastness and harmony. Steadfastness sounds like fellows lying up, doesn't it? Sounds like those Oilers linebackers. And I don't know a whole lot about football, but I'll guarantee you, if it's not there, they're not going to win again today. All you lovers of football, say amen. Harmony speaks of teamwork, of course. And we apply that word to the Church of Jesus Christ. There has to be steadfastness and work if we're going to win. They, you know who. There has to be steadfastness and harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ if we're going to win. It's your turn to say amen. Praise God. I love these words, and words are my life. I don't mean to just be making a case for words, but I want you to consider these two giants. They are giant words of common sense. Keep on steadfastness and underscore it with common sense. Keep on harmony and underscore it with common sense. The word steadfastness means firmly fixed in devotion to duty, constant and unchanging. I believe they're going to win this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Harmony means accord, agreement in action. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ has always been a winner and is going to win this afternoon and is going to win the whole shooting match. Praise the Lord. The Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. Amen. Paul is making an appeal. Be firmly fixed in devotion to duty. Be constant. Be unchanging. Praise the Lord. Work in accord. Let there be agreement in action. And so, we're going to go back now to these opening verses in the fourth chapter. I want to read it again, the third, fourth, and sixth verses. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others, my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, we ought to shout this morning because our names are written in the book of life. And I believe that the Philippian Christians were shouting because their names were written in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And so the Philippian Christians were rejoicing. What about glad tidings? And in the sixth verse, be careful for nothing. I tell you, you better have a lot of the Lord's blessing to be careful for nothing. You really got to have this thing called Christianity going for you and working like a well-oiled heavenly machine to be careful for nothing. How many of you wish this morning, oh God, and I should be careful for nothing? God's word makes a way, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, too, let your requests be made known unto God. What a revival they were having at First Assembly in the city of Philippi. What a season of revival, outpouring of God's power and presence, the people literally shouting the praises of God, leaping and dancing in the Spirit, and God witnessing through them to a lost and a dying world. Do you get the grasp of what I'm saying? The church at Philippi was enjoying a Holy Ghost revival. And right in the middle of it, right in the middle of this glorious revival, Paul gives this admonition in verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Why? Oh, boy. We'll make it. Sometimes it's hard to preach. Sometimes you just have to keep on. Let's do it again. "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Why? The Lord is at hand. Praise God. Now here we have the church at Philippi with possibly the greatest evangelist ever known, Paul. And here we have the church at Philippi having the greatest revival of the history of that church. And Paul throws in this admonition, the fifth verse. Paul lays down this guideline of moderation. Oh, I'll tell you, Paul, when you get things going, leave it go. It's hard enough to get things started, and you come along and put on some bricks. It's hard enough to build a fire of evangelism, and you come along and throw a wet blanket over everything. Well, I want you to consider that fifth verse. Paul lays down guidelines of moderation, and this is exactly what I intend to do this morning. We're reading through this fourth chapter. We are not prepared for this guideline. We are not ready for it, and perhaps don't understand it. But there it is, nevertheless. And what does Paul mean by moderation? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think he meant by it, and I'm going to tell you some things that I mean by it. Praise the Lord. Moderation was the Greek influence on the times and on the church. It was the Greek position. I suppose some of the folks were Romans, and some of them were Jews, and some of them were from Texas, and some of them were from Oklahoma, and some of them were from here and there, and on and on. That's the way churches were made up, right? And so the Greek position was one of moderation. We all have something to contribute to the church of Jesus Christ. There is a dimension deeper than you that this church needs. But we all need this influence, this position of the Greek. Moderation. It stands for that which is reasonable. Say, folks, there are times when we could use a whole lot of that. Keeping out to cherish that which is reasonable. That which is seamless. That which is suitable. Now, the word moderation has to it the thought of maturity. And this is exactly what Paul wanted to point out. You can have the greatest revival, and the news of it will go abroad. No doubt there's not room to seat the people. And my, how things are happening in Philippi. Be moderate. Be moderate. Be reasonable. Be seemly. Be suitable. The thought of maturity. There must be a considered opinion. You're being judged by everyone. The only way we can come to that kind of an opinion is by thorough investigation of what's going on. The Lord wants moderation in our lives, and He has given a great deal of thought to what's going on in our lives. Paul tells Timothy that one of the important qualifications for office in the church is patience. An elder must be patient, Paul says. Creating a storm in the church doesn't necessarily create a revival in the church. We need to ask, what are the long-range benefits of my words? How weighty our words can be. What about our actions? Lord, help us. This is the first element most desired and most respected in the judiciary of our country. In fact, the first public exams for degrees at Oxford University are called moderation. Amen. The Supreme Court has to make decisions based on this premise. Moderation. Paul appealed to Agrippa in Acts, the 24th chapter. I entreat thee, or I beg thee, to hear us of thy clemency a few words. I entreat thee to hear us of thy leniency, of thy mercy, a few words. What's Paul asking for? Agrippa, have an open mind about this thing. Agrippa, have rational judgment about this thing. Agrippa, don't fail to look on all sides of this matter. The tendency of youth and the tendency of immaturity is just the truth regardless. But maturity speaks of something entirely different, doesn't it? Amen. James was the first general superintendent, and he spoke of the spiritual quality of moderation. James 3:17, it is first pure. Here is what's pure. It's peaceable, and it is gentle, and it is easy to be entreated. Praise the Lord. You can't erase from the true Christian the image of the gentleman or the gentlewoman, as the case might be. Praise the Lord. We're talking about moderation this morning. We're talking about self-control in everyday language. We're talking about having your head screwed on right. I'm going to wake you up here in a minute. Yeah? In fact, moderation is a fruit of the Spirit, faith, meekness, and temperance. There it is. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5. A man that is under control. A man that is under control has a tremendous balance, doesn't he? I want you to think for a moment about the beauty of a man who has character and the operation of that character under control. I'm going to tell you, it's not just something beautiful. It's something to stand and behold. Praise God. Some years ago, I was invited by some young friends to come and have dinner with them that evening. As I went, I noticed that she tried to keep the left side of her face hidden as much as possible, for it was literally black and blue. And her eye was almost swollen shut. She explained that she had turned quickly in the night and had run into the door. I felt that I knew better than that. I want to tell you, my appetite was gone. And I wasn't able to eat. And I turned to that young man, and I said, "You know that there is a better way." I got up from my chair, and I said, "I can't be your friend anymore." Any man that would treat his wife like that, "I can't be your friend anymore." Now, let me assure you that this business of abuse may work both ways. We're talking now about physical abuse. I'm not going to let it stay there. I want to know what you think about verbal abuse, sir. I want to see a gentleman who has this marvelous balance that I spoke to you a few moments ago. The balance of character and the balance of operation of that character throughout his life. I said it was something to behold. I believe there's a better way than shouting. I believe there's a better way than yelling and screaming. I believe that if you yell and scream at her, she ought to have the same right to yell and scream at you. I think the kids ought to have the same right too. I've been home when I felt like getting up and walking out. I've been in homes where it seems that I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Akers, I'm leaving. Are you going along too?" Precious Lord, there is not one of us here this morning that believes in physical abuse. But I wonder how many of us are guilty of verbal abuse. Let me tell you, sir, those words will count against you. He may not have the good sense to pick up a two before and lay it up beside your head. But those words will count against you. You know why some women are such saints? Because they live with devils. Amen. Because they live with devils. They'll come to church and shout on Sunday. And through the week, there is no balance of character and operation to their lives. There's no beauty there. Oh, how beautiful you are this morning. But if I could look in on Monday morning and throughout the week, precious Lord, let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Above all other things, this fact, these five words set the Christian apart from the world. Why is it that you don't do a lot of things, including abuse? Because the Lord is at hand. Praise God. Do we realize what our responsibility is as a believer? Oh, yes, we do. Praise the Lord. Do we realize that it must be a faithful reflection of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives? Praise God. Why? That's right. Amen. It is a fearful thing in these last days to misrepresent Jesus Christ And sir, whenever your character and your operation get out of balance, there's nothing beautiful there. And you're not the Christian that you're trying to make people believe that you are. Our responsibility is to represent Jesus Christ. This distortion, this being out of balance in character and operation, can be quickly corrected simply by what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I'm very grateful that I can say I never heard my mom and my dad ever yell at each other. I never heard them scream and yell at each other. I know that they talked long in the night, but I never heard a cross word from my mom and dad. That may be one of the reasons I have joy and peace in my heart today. Maybe one of the reasons why I'm standing behind this pulpit. Thank God for their beautiful example in my heart and life. What would Jesus do? As a young Christian, I simply couldn't break the mold of the world. And I'd sit there in the old Winona Theater in Tomball, Texas, and I'd sit there and literally tremble. What if Jesus would come? Oh, I'm sitting here watching the movie. What would happen if Jesus would come? I'll tell you this morning, we must constantly be in a corrective mode in our character and operation, and this question will do it. What would Jesus do? Praise God. I'm going to tell you, it got me out of the movie for good. Amen. With boldness and with brashness, we get things done for the Lord, often with a heavy foot. And the result is a wreck. The result is often a crash. You can't straighten out curves with acceleration. Amen. Hoping that nothing is coming from the opposite direction. Same steady driving. We'll get to their own time. Most importantly, we'll get to there. Praise the Lord. The believer's responsibility is to so live that he has constantly the Lord's approval. Why? Amen. The Lord is at hand. Praise God. From Romans, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're all the time under heaven's scrutiny. I'm grateful for this. God the Father is the signatory to Christ's return, guaranteeing Christ's return. What does Christ's return mean to you and me? It means that we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of ourselves unto God. Praise the Lord. Every man, woman, boy and girl that has borne the name Christian, yes, we'll stand before God. The New Testament tells us in James 5:9, the judge standeth at the door. Precious Lord, precious Lord, the judge standeth at the door. That's why I need the ministry of the Holy Spirit's guidance in my life. That's why I need the Holy Spirit's judgment in my life. Holy Spirit, this book says and promises me that you will lead me into all truth. Now do it. Why? Praise God. The Lord's coming. The Lord is at hand. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. the responsibility that bears down upon my everyday conversation. Now let's talk about some other things, like conversation. James says that speech is probably the most significant area of our human behavior. I believe it is. James says it is. I believe it is. James tells us that our speech, we issue forth blessings or curses. James 3:2, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Yes. So I must ask myself, not just what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus say? Praise God. Now back off, sir, and come again with what would Jesus say. Solomon put it this way, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth poureth out evil things. Proverbs 15:28. We have here the heart, and notice it says of the righteous. We're talking about Christians. I'm not preaching to the world this morning. I'm preaching to Christians. The heart of the righteous. But the mouth poureth out evil things. The next time your mouth starts to pour forth evil things, won't you please drop before the Lord? Drop on your knees before the Lord and before your family and seek the face of God. Repent before the Lord. You know, I believe I did say in the beginning of all of this that, you know, that it is his, him and her, or her and him, however it works. Praise God. You're sitting out there saying, preacher, you sure can preach a lot about the married situation. Well, like Paul, I ought to be able to. I've seen and heard enough of it. You know, you think you know a lot about the married situation. Just ask the preacher if you really want to know something. Praise the Lord. The doctor is right. Stick out your tongue, the doctor says. Is the tongue coated? The doctor reads the evidence. Is the tongue coated? You may have a fever. Your tongue could also indicate your spiritual welfare. Amen. Moderation requires self-discipline in our everyday lives, doesn't it? How am I going to spend my day? I believe this ought to be one of the Beatitudes from the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. Blessed is the person who has achieved moderation. The Acres version. Blessed is the person who has achieved moderation. The person who is able to have a day and not want to cancel it before 10 o'clock. The person who's able to live out a day and to enjoy a day. You say, pastor, you just don't know what I have to go through at home and on the job or the school. Don't give me that business. You make choices and I make choices. Amen. And that's what life is about, isn't it? Praise God. And what should be done with our lives and our everyday schedule of our lives, and what should be left undone? Went out to the Dexter Cemetery the other day to see the family plot and to somehow say, Mom and Dad, I'm thinking about you, whatever. And I couldn't go away without the thought, what if this was your day, sir? And what if this was your plant and time for the seed of immortality? And I thought about it as I walked along the path under those great sycamore trees. don't believe I've left anything undone. How many of you can say that this morning? I don't believe I've left anything undone. Praise the Lord. There may not be a tomorrow. The Word of God tells us that now is the accepted time. The only way you can accomplish in the now what you must is by the help of the Lord and by the judgment of the direction and the judgment of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Praise God for His mercy. God help us. There's an intemperance in this last day in entertainment and recreation. My Bible tells me that they would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let me tell you, sir, this is not after world. This is the sanctuary of the living God. Let me tell you, Mr. and Ms. Young people, this is not Fame City. This is where people come, young and old, to meet with Almighty God. Why? Think about it. Praise God. This gang over here is preaching a better sermon than I am. The scripture says, bodily exercise profits. Yes. But the whole man is not all body. God wants something more of us than beautiful huts. God wants something deep inside that is character. God wants something of a manifestation on the outside that is operation, blessed and anointed, guided, and with the judgment of the Holy Ghost upon it. Amen. God help me. How am I going to do this? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would Jesus spend His time? Am I spending my time as Jesus would? In 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul says, every man that striveth for mastery is temperate, that means moderate, in all things. Praise the Lord. The New Testament teaches that my body is to be respected and cared for as a testimony to Jesus Christ, but not more than my spirit or my soul is cared for. Praise His wonderful name. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Not an easy thing to do. But it can be done, Paul says. Let's get with the program, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, or I myself should be disqualified. Precious Lord, it demands seemliness in our social conduct. My social conduct, the social patterns of my life as a Christian, could bear out moderation. There it is. My dress and my habits, my fellowship with others, that means the gang I run around with, whether young or old, should at all times reflect my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No, I haven't smoked marijuana.